That was a well-picked song,
Rob, because I'm definitely leaning on Jesus this morning. As I, as some of you already know, and I told some of you earlier this morning, I started preparing for this lesson. Well, I decided I'd be preaching this lesson yesterday morning, and started working on this lesson kind of late yesterday afternoon, so I don't bring that up to say that these aren't thoughts that I don't think are important. It's not in any way to say that coming up before you is not something that I take very seriously and put a lot of responsibility on myself when I do this. So I don't bring that up to say that this is just a haphazard lesson by any stretch. Just want to let y'all know a little bit of where I am and what's going on with me, right? Just give me just a moment because my notes didn't want to turn on for me when I walked up here. So I got to log in. There we go. All right. And yeah, so I guess the main thing that I bring all that up to say is I'm really looking for Christ to help me an exceptional amount this morning. Not that he doesn't every day, and not that he doesn't for anyone that comes up here and speaks before the church, but so in that light, I'd like to start with a prayer for myself and a prayer for y'all as you're hearing this lesson. Are hearing these words that we can both do the best we can with it. So let's start with a prayer. Dear Lord God, Father of everything, creator of the world, matchless in power, awesome God, thank you so much for the ability to come before you and speak to you with whatever is on our mind. Thank you so much for being there to listen to our humble problems. Thank you so much for always being there for us. Thank you so much for sending your Son into this world to be the sacrifice for us so that we could experience your grace, so that we could stand before you pure because his blood washed away our sins. Thank you so much, Lord, for such an awesome plan and for loving us so much that you would do that, to send your Son knowing the abuse that he would see in this world, knowing that he was sitting there, the perfect Son at your side through all time. He had been the perfect Son through all time, but yet you sent him to this world for us. And for that we thank you, and we humbly serve you. And I ask, Lord, that you please be with me now as I try and present some ideas from your word, as I try and communicate those ideas to this loving family here at Central. I ask that you also be with them and give them patience with me and to help them see you through the service that I'm trying to provide, to help see you in Christ a little clearer today, and to help renew them Because, Lord, this congregation is struggling. They may not even realize it for some people, but we're struggling, Lord. Because I know that we all could be serving you better. We all could be doing more to be like Christ. So I pray for this prayer humbly for all of us, Lord. And I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. I don't know about you, but that helped. Like it always does. Especially when you really believe that it will. So thank you for praying with me as I prepare to bring this lesson to you. So, again, we're here as Christians. Again, we're here today because we believe in God. And like I said in the prayer, He loved us so much, He sent His Son to be that perfect sacrifice for us, even though He knew that He'd be crucified. But on the third day, Christ rose because He had the power over death. He won that contest with death, and He overcame it. And now, because of that, because of His power and because of God's grace, we can stand redeemed. But it's not just about a moment. It's not just about us receiving that grace. There's more that we need to do. So much more. So, just to give you all a little story about myself, and I'm up here, so you get to listen. So just a little story about myself. So this week, we were looking for, we have emails that we send out. We have a small group that of men that are willing to come before you and provide this service to teach, to preach these lessons. And that group's been pretty stressed, and not so much, well, probably in some cases physical. I know some of it has been for me. In some cases mentally stressed, and in some cases just, it takes a lot of effort to come up here before you. You're like, oh, there's just a few of us. We're nice people. We're not going to chastise you or any of this stuff, right? It's a loving congregation. It's still not easy. It's still not easy to come up here. But yeah, there's this group of men that have been willing to do this for over a year now, coming up unplanned, for the most part, unappreciated. It's probably a little far to go, but we don't do much for them, let's say, right? The people that come up and provide this service, that try and help you each week to live for God a little more, to try and help strengthen or renew your convictions in Christ. We probably don't thank them near enough. So first, I'd like to start and say, for each and every one of you, Rob's come up here and preached, Joel's come up here several times and preached, and it's a huge challenge for him. John Pitt's come up here and preached. We very much appreciate their service. Excuse me. Maurice has been up here. Buncey, Genesis. Daryl's come up here and preached. David has come up here and preached. And we appreciate you so much, the service that you're giving to this congregation, and how much that I know that it challenges and tries each and every one of you. Because it challenges and tries me to get up here before you. This is not my comfort zone. This is not something that comes easy to me. Yes, I've practiced it Yes, I've been taught how to go about public speaking. This is totally different. Because I'm not just standing up here and reciting some stuff that I'm an authority on. I am a miserable sinner. I am a miserable sinner. But yet I'm trying to come up here and help you. And it's hard. So hard. And I am not prepared to do this any week. And so much less so this week. Because like I said, it was a little extra challenge this week. As it's been longer and longer that we've been pushing on these men to provide these lessons, it's been a little later, a little harder to get somebody to take this responsibility. And this week, Wednesday, I reached back out to Daryl, and Daryl was like, no, nobody's volunteered yet. And that was Thursday, he responded back. Didn't hear anything Thursday or Friday. Saturday, myself, Rob, and Daryl were kind of messaging back and forth, has anybody come forward? It's like, well, we'll try and figure out something to do. Rob generously was thinking that he would just add some extra verses, some extra songs to help to administer to everyone this week, but it pulled on me to come and provide some lesson to each of you. So, oh, great, this thing turned back off. So yesterday morning, that conversation was going on, and at the time I was, we had headed out on a particularly early morning for us. Normally we sleep in on Saturday mornings, try and recover a little bit from the week, but we had gotten out a little early to go to Sam's. They didn't mention this morning that yes, we are having a celebration over there for Sandy. All the food is going to be provided, so just show up. You don't have to worry about dinner tonight. There is plenty of food. My wife, a couple of others, myself yesterday a little bit and earlier, have been making sure that the meal is all provided. There's decorations. We just want y'all to help focus on making Sandy appreciated this evening. So you don't even have to worry about the food. Just come and celebrate her. So that was how I started my day yesterday. And then we started talking about the lesson this morning and who might be providing it and how we might handle this situation. And at about that time, I was headed over to help Wayne. I don't know if many of y'all know him. He comes pretty often, rather quiet, but he needed our help, and he's moving. So my son and I went over and spent about 2 hours helping him move yesterday. And then I came back up to the building, and we found out the AC wasn't working in the annex, which would not have been a good day or a good evening tomorrow for all of y'all. Or that was yesterday's tomorrow, so today. Would not have been a good evening today. Because we had just gotten it fixed earlier this week, and all of a sudden it had quit working again. So we stayed around the building and got the AC guy to come back out and fix it again. And then while we were doing that, I spent some time. I noticed that the weeds were getting pretty tall between here and that building. I wanted to make sure y'all had a clean path to get over there. So I was weed eating and So that was most of my yesterday before I started working on what I would prepare and say this morning. And I bring all that up to say that might sound like a tough day, that might sound exhausting. You know, I don't know how many people have been involved in moving furniture from one house to another. Even 2 hours can get you a little wore out. But I don't say that to say that to want you to feel bad for me, because at the end of the day yesterday, I felt wonderful. Not physically. Physically, I hurt. But I recognized, and my wife, my son, who were going through all that with me, we were wonderful. Because we knew that all of that stuff we were doing, it wasn't just a selfish, it wasn't focusing on myself. It wasn't, oh, I need to just relax today. I've been working all week. I need a day off. Those days, those Saturdays when I just sit around and watch TV or play video games or take naps, I get done with those days, and those days I don't feel that great. Nothing like yesterday. Nothing like waking up this morning and going, being able to look back on that and recognize that I was serving a greater good. That's why I wanted to share that story. I want to remind all of you that there is so much more that we can be doing. And I bring this all up, especially now, and I especially wanted to talk about it now, because we've been talking with Patrick McCary, who's going to be coming and taking over this role as the full-time speaker here. But he's got ideas for a lot more. And the elders and I have been looking at those ideas. We haven't talked about it a lot, but I'm really excited about what he has, the vision that he has. It aligns with our vision, but he has so many more details of what he wants us to try here at this place in this community. I know we spent a lot of years from this place working on the mission in Belize, and that absolutely has been a good cause, and that has been something that we've been able to do, but it's something that maybe, I mean, we're gonna hear Bob next week and see a lot of the results of that work, but it's hard to make that personal. It's hard, unless you've been one of the people that can go down there with them, it's hard to have that mission really feel that, the way that we need to refocus, or we need to focus more on the mission here. So when I was out helping Wayne move, the community that he was in, that community needs help too. There were quite a few people in that area that it's hard to see. It did not look like the abundant life that Christ talked about in the verse that Eric read. He came that we would have life and have it abundantly. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Christ came that we may have abundant life. And it's not just about, abundant life isn't, I have a comfortable home and the AC is working and, you know, there's good shows on TV. Abundant life is, I can just do whatever I want. I can relax anytime I want to. Life is easy. That's not the abundant life that Christ came for. He came for the abundant life like the one my family was doing yesterday. Abundant life is service to others. Abundant life is taking care of each other. Abundant life is getting more people in these doors so that we can have that effect on more people, so that we can share our faith, so that we can share just what Christ has done for us, what Christ has done in our lives, so that we can share that with other people, so that we can bring it into their lives, so that we can sing at the top of our voices here on Sunday, and that can go with people into their weeks, and they can hear those songs still playing in their head as they're facing their challenges in life. That's the abundant life that Christ came for. So, that's the main focus I had here, and I had plenty of scriptures, plenty of things that I thought I might use in talking to you this morning. So, just to make it clear that I'm not just coming up with this off the top of my own head, I'm gonna review a few verses in support of this lesson and then wrap it up. So the first one I'll be reading, and this is kind of first few verses here really focused on the community around us, the community, the world that we're living in, and that we need to be doing more in this world for this community. So the first verse is Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. This one you probably already know. Luke 19, verse 10. I don't know if I said that right. If you'd like to flip over there, I'll read it for you. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's everybody. We were all lost before Christ came. Next verse will be the same one that was read this morning, John 10, 9 through 10. This is one of my favorite verses because it really brings us back to, in Christ's own words, why he was here. And as Christians, followers of Christ, our main goal, our main purpose should be to extend, to carry on that mission that he came for, the reason he was here. Christ says, again, John 10, starting in 9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. He's the way. He is the way for all of us, for everyone in this world. And we need to get that message out there. Let everyone know we know the way. Next verse, Ephesians 6 and 12. Ephesians 6, 12. This one's talking more about the problems that we're going to face and the reason that Christ is so important in this world. Ephesians 6, 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We're at war. This struggle is not against the people of this world. When you look out into the world and you go, I'm here to serve Christ, when you look at those people that are in darkness, we're not fighting them. They're the victims. We're fighting the darkness, this evil from spiritual forces, the demons, Satan. That is who the battle is against. The people that you're seeing that aren't having that abundant life, the people that you're seeing in prison, in just so many different types of affliction in this world, the people that are just angry, the people that are cutting you off in traffic because they're, oh, they must be jerks, right? Those are just terrible people. These people that curse you for cutting them off and for just being there, right? The people that, those aren't the people that we're fighting against. That is not the enemy. That's the victim. The enemy is Satan. And we need to bring Christ to those people so that they can move to the winning side. That's the community I'm talking about. That's the service that we need to be bringing as we serve Christ. As we call ourselves Christians, that is what we're supposed to be doing. And again, that's not just me talking. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 19 and reading through 20. Again, this is Christ. So I gave you a few back where he was saying why he was here. And I say, as Christians, we should be following him. We should be following that mission. He also told us to do it right here. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Doesn't stop there. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Christ told us to. If we're calling ourselves Christians, this is for us. He told us to go. Go, therefore. That's action. We have to be taking action. Go is not sitting in the pews. Go is the stuff like we were doing yesterday, me and my family. Find ways that you can go. Take action. I really like some of the stuff that Patrick has been bringing, or that he had this plan that he had shared with us, 39 pages thus far. And he said he's planning on filling in more of the details as he goes. Plans for each and every month, starting in June, starting in July, each and every month, plans for that he plans to bring to you, of lessons he plans to bring to you, but each and every one of those lessons with a purpose as to how we can figure out actions that each and every one of us can take, how we can inspire you to action, because action is what we need to do. We need to go, not sit. Let's figure out what those things are. Let's support him as he comes and tries to revive us with that mission of going, and do everything we can. Figure out the things that we didn't even know we could do to go. Next verse, Matthew 9, starting in 37. So the final of that last verse was pretty reassuring in that Christ said he would be with us. And again, he's reassuring us here in Matthew 9, verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." I know how he feels. The workers are few. But the harvest is plentiful. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. We don't have to do it on our own. Christ said he'd be here with us. Christ said, beseech God, pray. Pray for workers. Any of us can do that. Any of us can look to God and say, God, I know you're with us. God, I know that you told us right here, you sent your son. He told us that we could just ask you and the workers would come. I ask all of you to pray for this congregation. Pray for the workers, because as he said, the harvest is plentiful. There are so many that need Christ in this community. And I got a few finishing verses here. I've been studying Philippians, and we'll be going into this next, or at least my plan currently is to start Philippians when Joel finishes the morning classes that he has prepared. We're going to be studying Philippians, and I think it's going to be a good study. So I really encourage you to join me in Sunday morning Bible class in here in the auditorium. One thing I wanted to share with you all, I've told a few of you about the Blue Letter Bible application. I found a new feature in there. You hit the little button on the bottom left, has like a little speaker looking icon with a Bible behind it. It will actually read to you. So it has to audio, right? And it's not the voice to text garbly thing that often those show up with, but it's actual people that have read, sounds pretty professionally. And not only that, but it has multiple translations. So I went on a walk a few times this week. I like to just get away from my desk every now and then, enjoy nature, enjoy God's creation. I'll take a little walk around my block at church, take a walk around my block near my office. And this week, in preparations for talking about Philippians, I put my earbuds in, I hit play, and in my little 15-minute walk, I heard the entire book of Philippians. And I've now listened to it in about four different versions of the Bible, four different translations. Just an encouragement. If you're having trouble focusing on text, you know, reading it yourself, eyes get sore, you can just hit play. It'll read you the same chapter over and over with one setting, or it'll just read through continuously the entire Bible. But yeah, 15 minutes is all it takes to read Philippians. I encourage each of you to do that in preparation for that class. But here, a couple of verses. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. So this time, Paul talking. And he says, I thank my God. Oh, sorry, Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, if you'd like to read with me. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. So there's a few things that I took from this verse. The first one being, Paul's talking to this congregation, and Paul's uplifted. Paul's praying to God, thankful because of the service that he saw in that congregation. If nothing else, that's what we're doing. That's what we should be doing here. Having place for others to look and go, thank you that someone is still working in the world for Christ. That they're still believing in the gospel enough that they're going out and acting on it. And the second thing I saw in this verse was, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. What I heard there was, at any point, I don't know how old this congregation was, but Paul saw in them the opportunity for improvement. Paul saw in them, and Paul knew, he believed that Christ and the power of God could improve this congregation. This congregation that was already an uplift, a source of encouragement to Paul, they could get better. And he encouraged them. These were encouraging words to keep getting better. We should be focused on how we can get better, always. The message of Christ isn't check the box and you're done. Life's like, I'm a Christian, I brought maybe one other person to Christ, I checked the box, I've done my Christ thing, right? I count myself a Christian, my work is done. No. Let me read you another verse here. Philippians again, first verse 12, and then I'm going to skip down to 19 through 24. So again, this is Paul talking, and this is my last one before I wrap up. Sorry if, I don't know if this went long or short. I just going with it. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I read Paul and it feels like he goes off on little tangents and then gets back to his point. I think that's what happened here, because he says something in verse 12, and then verses 13 through 18, he seems like he just talks about something totally different, and then in 19, it seems like he picked up the thought that he started in 12. Could just be me. Again, I listened to this like 6 times this week or more, so maybe I got it, maybe I didn't, but anyway, here's what I heard. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Now skipping ahead. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose, but I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. I know that was a lot. So Paul, while he's writing this book to the Philippians, I'm not sure how old he was. It kind of sounds like, from the way he's talking, it's toward the end of his life. He's in prison. He's having a pretty rough time. Timothy, from the beginning of the chapter, Timothy's with him, so it kind of led me to believe he's kind of further along in his ministry. I would guess he's pretty old. There's not a whole lot of Paul left at this point, as far as his physical body. But as you heard in there, to live is Christ and to die is gain. While he's here, to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. He's saying that his work's done, he already knows where he's going when he dies. He's going to heaven. And maybe many of you, I hope and pray that many of you also have that assurance, that confidence in yourself, that you've lived a life for Christ. But Paul reminds us here, as long as we're on this earth, there's more for us to do. As long as we're alive, we're here to serve. That's why God hasn't called us home yet. And that's why we can be so happy when he does call someone home. So happy. Both of my parents have been called home, and I'm so happy for them, because they did their work. I know it.
God said, you lived for Christ, and now you get your gain. That was a whole lot more than I prepared. Hopefully you got something out of it. I know I did. I know I do each and every time I come up here. And not just in the preparation before I get here, but for just being able to renew my convictions by saying them in front of you. Just being able to get those nods back. Being able to see you out in this room looking back at me, seeing that you agree, you support the things that I'm saying, or at least don't come back afterwards and tell me I messed something up. I'm perfectly open to those. If I did say something wrong, my mistake, please correct me. But like I said, I'm doing the best that I know how, reading it, trying to understand it as best I can, what Christ wanted for us. Invitation. I encourage all of you to find ways that you can serve. We're going to be looking for each and every one of you to do something more than you've done before. Something that you might not think you can do, but hopefully we'll find something that you're like, yeah, I know that's more work than I can normally fit in a given week. I know that's more than I normally do, but it's worth it. It's a good cause because we're Christians, because that's what we're called to do, is do more. Always and ever, just a little bit more for Christ. He gave everything, and he asks us to just live for him. That's all I got. Thanks.